Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, guys, did you have a good day? It's awesome to be up here. And one of my favorite things is hearing a couple hundred young people who are singing their hearts out to the Lord. So proud of for how you're lifting your voices to the King of Kings. We've learned that Jesus is the promised King. We've learned this morning that he's the incarnate King. In other words, the King came down to us and made his dwelling among us to save us. Tonight we're going to talk about how Jesus is the wise King. All right, show of hands. Anybody like to bake out here? Okay, all right, good, good. Imagine, you tell me how this would work out. Let's say I try to bake a cake without the recipe. You know, I know what I'm doing. I've done it before. I've seen others do it. Do you think you can make a cake without a recipe? Ooh. I don't know about that. You know, we all know some of the ingredients, right? You put in a little flour, you have some eggs, you have some sugar. But then, let's just say, based on what I think I remember seeing others do before, maybe my mom or my grandma or my dad, I remember that you put some salt in there. And so I start to pour some salt in there, maybe like a half cup or maybe a cup. Would that turn out okay? No. You need just a little bit of salt, right? What if I decided to make some substitutions? Maybe on accident I put in baking soda instead of baking powder. Would that be okay? No, no. Let's say I really like sugar, and so I decide to add a bunch more. Would that ruin it all? It probably, I don't know. You should try it sometime. You know what? I love vanilla cake. So let's say that it just feels right to keep on adding some more drops. Would that work out okay? No. One time, this is more a cooking story, but one time I thought that a clove of garlic for a pasta sauce was the whole bulb. If you've cooked in the kitchen at all, you know that a clove is just a little piece of the bulb. And let me tell you, and actually, I have some nieces and nephews in the audience. Their parents had some really bad pasta one time because I thought a clove meant the whole bulb of garlic. But you know that if you don't follow a recipe, you're in danger of making some big mistakes and having a really bad cake that doesn't turn out or that tastes really bad. Tonight, we're going to talk about wisdom, and we're going to give some warnings. If you judge what to do based on what you see others doing, sometimes that's going to lead you into danger. If you make substitutes to what you think is right, and you change and substitute somebody else's wisdom instead of God's wisdom, you're going to find yourself in trouble. If you just throw together a plan for how you live your life based on what feels good or what seems right in the moment, you're setting yourself up for a lot of trouble. We need a recipe for wisdom. We need a time-tested plan from a good source. Let me repeat that. We need a time-tested plan from a good source. Wisdom, it doesn't come from just randomly trying to work things out. It comes from following a time-tested plan from a good source. The question I want you to write in your notes first. There's going to be a few questions tonight. The first one I want you to write in your notes is this. On whose wisdom will you build your life? On whose wisdom will you build your life? Where will you go for what's wise? Where will you go to know what's right and wrong? Where will you go for guidance, for inspiration? And to do that, we're going to look at a really fun story in the Bible from Luke chapter 2. It shows us where Jesus went for wisdom. And then after that, we're going to talk about how Jesus is wisdom. So let's look at Luke chapter 2. I want you to have it open. We don't have the verses on the screen tonight because I want you to follow along in your own Bible. I want you to underline some words that stick out to you. Let's look at it together. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. One reason why I love this story is it's one of the only, if not the only, story we have of Jesus as an adolescent. He's 12 years old in this story. How cool is it that we are reading a story about Jesus when he was your age? It says in verse 41, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. So let's answer some questions. Let's pause here for a second. We do need a little bit of context to really appreciate what's going on here. Jesus is 12 years old, it says. They're on a journey from where they lived to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. It says that this was a custom of theirs, so this was like an annual trip. They would travel in caravans or large groups of relatives and friends to this feast. It was for safety, for shared resources. They did this journey as a big group. The trip was about 70 miles. On estimate from where Jesus lived to Jerusalem. And just imagine 50, 60, 70 people traveling together who know each other very well. When they would get to the feast, they would offer the Passover sacrifices. They would have special worship services. They would have meals together and some fun along the way. They would socialize during these feast weeks as well. Let's keep going. Verse 43, it says, after the feast was over, while Jesus' parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. Pause there. This is a story that parents love because as a parent, I've made so many mistakes. But think about Mary and Joseph here. They lost their 12-year-old son for a whole day. They had to feel awful. I've left my kids at places before. Three of them are in the audience. They can tell you that. I've left kids at church. I've left kids at school. I left one kid at SeaWorld accidentally for a few extra minutes. I was leading a field trip, and everybody was on the bus but my daughter. I had left her behind in a bathroom in SeaWorld. Felt pretty bad about that one. But then I look at this story, and I'm just like, Mary and Joseph lost Jesus for a whole day. It says that they were unaware that Jesus had stayed behind. Let's see what he had been doing. Verse 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. If you got a pen, I think it's wise to circle the words sitting, listening, asking them questions. What was Jesus doing? He was seeking wisdom. Remember this morning we talked about how Jesus had to grow through the different growth and development phases that you and I do. And so when he was 12, he had things to learn, just as you and I have things to learn. What is he doing? What's his posture here? He's sitting and listening, and he's asking questions. That's the posture of someone who wants to gain wisdom. He's sitting in front of the teachers of the Jewish religion. He's learning the Old Testament scriptures from them. It says he's asking questions. It does say that he had some obvious interest and wisdom already, because look at verse 47. It says, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So for his age, it was obvious that he had already committed himself to finding and learning wisdom and living it out. Verse 48, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Jesus says, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I would be in my father's house? This always makes me chuckle a little bit. If there was one snarky comment that Jesus made, this is probably it. We know that he didn't sin, so he wasn't over the top here, but he asked his parents, didn't you know that I would be in my heavenly father's house in the temple courts? Verse 50, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Notice that. Circle that word obedient. Wisdom isn't just knowing a bunch of good stuff. It's applying it. It's obeying it. He had learned, undoubtedly, at that point as a 12-year-old, that wisdom was obeying your parents. And it says he was obedient to them. He was respectful of them. Remember, he's the son of God, but he's also a 12-year-old boy, and he had to learn to obey his parents. It says, but his mother Mary treasured all these things in her heart. In other words, she really pondered what had just happened. And then it summarizes with the verse that we already looked at this morning. And Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, and in favor with men. He grew physically. He grew intellectually. He grew socially. He grew spiritually. He grew because he took that posture of humility. He knew he needed to learn more. And so what is he doing? He's sitting and listening and asking questions with older, wiser teachers. This brings a good question up for us. I'm going to ask for your help. Similar to last night, in your notes, I would like you to make a line down the middle. On the left-hand side, we can go to the next slide. I want you to write down, where should you go for advice or wisdom? On the other side, I want you to think of a few places where you probably shouldn't go for your advice on how to live your life. Okay? All right. Let me get some hands. Where would be some wise places to go to learn how to live life? Bree. What is that? Yeah, talking to Jesus. Good. Okay. Another one. Oh. Are you okay? That was a first. I've never fallen off a stage before, but I did there. If you can't see, there's a step here, and I totally missed that. So, oh well. All right. Where's a good place to go for advice or wisdom?
Like a trusted adult.
A trusted adult. Good. Right here. Bible? Excellent. We'll get more to that later. Yep. Your grandma. Why your grandma? Okay. Anybody have a wise grandma or a wise grandpa? Yeah, good. Yep. All right, let's get a few more. Where's a good place to go for advice? Elders. What do you mean by elders? People that know more than you. That's good. Yep. Better than asking people that know less than you, right? All right, one more. Teachers. Good, good. All right. You're on this side. Where should you not go for advice generally? Okay. I know that there's exceptions to everything we say here probably, but where are generally some places that are unwise to go for advice? Google.
Yeah.
Okay. It's amazing when you run into a Google expert, right? They think because they search something that they know everything that a doctor would know or that a historian would know. Okay, good. Okay, where would be another place that generally you shouldn't go to for your life advice? People that you don't know. Good. Strangers, okay? Random things that you find online, okay? Some of them are good, but it's hard to judge which ones are good, right? Right here. Friend. I got good friends, though.
When you're younger, though, I don't know.
Okay, all right, all right. So he said your friends. Again, we're generally talking here, okay? Some of us, let's be honest, we've been guilty of placing more stock on what our friends say than what our parents or older, wiser people have told us. Does that make any sense when you step back and think about it? No. Okay, go ahead. Prison. Okay. Satan, good. Right here. ChatGPT. It is valuable, though. Guys, this is, I'm going to stop it right there. This is a really important question to wrestle through on your own and with your cabin later on, okay? Because who you're listening to is influencing you far beyond what you even can realize. Why would we go to some of these places for advice when we don't know them? We don't trust them? Maybe they've taken advantage of us in the past? Why would we go to people who don't love us or know us? Instead, we really need to analyze who we're listening to, who we're following, who has the biggest influence in our lives. Should we be getting our life's direction and be making choices based on the music we listen to? Probably not. Should we be getting it from random videos we watch on YouTube? Probably not, okay? But, and like I said, there's always exceptions, but here's the problem. It's hard to evaluate sources when they're online or from places we don't know the person behind it. Instead, we should be wise in who we get our advice from. The quality of your sources for how to live are going to be incredibly important. Who you listen to is going to go a long way as to how your life's direction is pointed. Now, obviously, and we did hear already, the best place to go for true wisdom is Jesus. Why? Because he's the wise king. He is your anchor, ultimately, to evaluate what is right and wrong. He lived wisdom. And so if we want to avoid foolishness and the consequences that come from foolish decisions, we listen to Jesus. He is our ultimate example. He is the most inspiring hero. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Let's put it on the screen. I want you to write the reference in your notes. Familiar words. Jesus said this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall." Why? Because it had a foundation on the rock. The wisdom of Jesus is a strong foundation. The wisdom of Jesus won't fail you. It's based on God's good design. When we decide that God's design doesn't fit into our plans and we go another way, we're setting ourselves up for failure. We're setting ourselves up for broken relationships. We're setting us up for regret. We're setting us up for difficulty. When you build your life on the wise king, you have a strong foundation. And so let me reiterate to you the question of the night. How will you build your life? Will it be a random, whimsical journey or baking a cake based on what you think and feel and what sounds right in the moment or what you've seen others do before? Or will you build it on a strong foundation, Jesus Christ? You need to know his word and study the Bible on your own so that you can find true wisdom. And remember, as we mentioned earlier, Jesus showed wisdom from a young age because he didn't just listen to wisdom, he actually applied it. He obeyed it. Wisdom, if it's just head knowledge, is no good. It's when wisdom is applied and when wisdom guides our decisions that it actually bears fruit and leads to good things in our lives. There are loud voices all around you in movies and shows, in music, in videos. You see all these pop culture figures saying these secrets to happiness or life or relationships or style. There are many voices, but the wise person, the wise Christian, will build their life on the wisdom of Jesus. And if I'm faced with a decision where I could either do what Jesus says or would say versus what other voices are saying, wisdom is choosing what Jesus has said because it's time-tested and it's from the best source. So follow Jesus. Obey Jesus. Go to him for the direction of your life. And if other wisdom comes along that doesn't match up with his, realize that his ways are better. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.